it's a two-part question. One, in the most basic form, what would you say is a healthy diet? And then how can someone simply just eat the healthy food and eat it in a healthy manner?
Yes, first of all, the first question is, go ahead and state the first part of the question.
So the first part of the question is, what is a healthy diet?
Okay, that's very simple. A healthy diet is a diet that is life affirmative. A simple Polchak rule: if the food you are eating is more dead than you are, you must remember that you're creating human tissue and life out of that food. You can tell if the food that you're eating is more dead than you are because you get tired after you eat it. And if you go to any restaurant in the world, you'll see people sitting there at night before they're supposed to be going to bed, finishing a meal, and they're so exhausted after eating the meal, they've got to drink coffee to regain consciousness. One of the ways you can tell you're eating life-supportive food is that you have more energy, more mental clarity, a greater sense of inner stability, peace, joy, and happiness after eating the food. So eating healthy food is essential because ultimately you're building your whole body and your whole biochemistry out of the food that you eat and everything that you drink. And if what you're bringing into your biological systems is not creating harmony and not giving you the basic building blocks with which to build a body out of, well, then the truth of the matter is you're only building the opposite. You have two choices: either build health or build disease. We got here through the process of evolution, and organic farming and the organic living was the only way we did live until about 1945, when chemical companies started selling pesticides, herbicides, rodenticides, and fungicides for huge profit. All you got to do is look at the research, which is very, very available. It's a beautiful book called Fatal Harvest: The Tragedy of Industrial Agriculture by Island Press. And right in there, they show you in the year 1945 in the United States, they only sold 200,000 pounds of pesticides. Yet today, by the year 2002, the United States was using 2 billion pounds of chemicals a year, yet crop losses have doubled. So if the pesticides, herbicides, rodenticides, and fungicides were actually doing anything like they promote them to be doing, we would have increased crop yields. Yet we do not. We have doubled the loss of crops with the use of chemicals, yet organic farmers all over the world never had such losses in yield. And anybody can read the book Farmers of 40 Centuries by Professor King, which is, you know, it's an old book published in the early 1900s by Professor F.H. King. But he did an investigation and went to China to figure out how they were feeding so many people with such primitive farming technologies. And he shows in there that each Chinese farmer, relative to land mass, is producing something like 6 to 10 times the amount of food per unit acre that an American farmer is using organic farming methods, and they were able to sustain that country on a land mass that only got 14% of its land mass farmable, arable. So these people using organic farming methods have essentially got the smallest farmable land mass, yet they're feeding the largest number of people in any region. And so the evidence is very, very clear out there that only when you eat life-affirmative food do you support life. And the rate of disease in the West, in the two most industrialized nations, particularly England and the United States, is the highest, and it's directly correlated to the amount of processed food that they eat. So really, all an individual has to do is be intelligent enough to think, how would I have to eat if I was living in the forest? And what was it that fed us well enough to grow and evolve our bodies and our brains in nature to give us the wisdom and the creative power to create all the advanced technologies that we use now? But what is it also that's deteriorated our intelligence to the point where we're using the technologies against ourselves? Then it's very, very easy to shop for food. And the reality of it is, you're going to the supermarket anyhow. The question is, are you going to walk down the aisle that sells organic food, or are you going to go keep buying junk and promoting the destruction of the environment? That's the answer to your first question.
So, what are your thoughts and experience with the raw food diet? Are you familiar with Doug Graham's work?
I'm not familiar with Doug Graham, but I'm very familiar with the raw food diet. And the raw food diet is a very, very good idea in concept. The problem is that very few people on the planet today are healthy enough to embark on a raw food diet, because to use a raw food diet, you have to have excellent digestive capacity. I would say 95% of human beings, by the time they reach 30 years of age on this planet, have severely disabled digestive systems. They're terribly enzyme depleted. They're depleted of hydrochloric acid because they've eaten so much food that is deficient in enzymes and therefore deficient in life, and they've had to use their own biological resources to convert dead food into human tissue. So when somebody like that starts on a raw food diet, typically what happens is it creates more health problems, and they cannot break the foods down because without at least basic processing, they can't liberate a lot of the nutrition from the food. So today, working into a raw food diet slowly and using a combination of raw foods and cooked foods is a much, much safer alternative if somebody wants to make a conversion. There are some people that can handle it, but believe me, I've had many people get themselves in a lot of trouble on raw food diets.
Okay, so the second question now is how do you get someone to shift from having eaten all the processed foods? I mean, I guess would you just reiterate that answer of just going just go to the organic aisle and only buy organic? That's the whole thing.
And you know, that's even become a problem because the food manufacturing corporations are very, very hip to the whole issue of organic. And they've gone out of their way to completely destroy what it means to buy organic food and what organic food is. They've completely wiped out the legitimacy of the organic certification. When I first wrote my book, Lifting the Veil of Deception, what Uncle Sam isn't telling you about organic food and organic farming, there were only 6 organic certifiers in the entire United States. Today there's something like 95. What they do is these large food manufacturing corporations also fund most of the university agriculture departments. So they start these fake organic certifications under other company names called pop-up companies or shell companies. They grow what they call organic food, which is not organic food. They create their own bogus certification. Then they send that food to the universities where they own the agricultural departments, and then they have the universities compare their commercially raised food against their organic food that appears to be somebody else's because it's raised under a shell corporation's name, and then they produce so-called scientific evidence that there's no difference in the nutrient quality between commercial and organic foods, which is bullshit scientific manipulation. Let me give you the names of some of the corporations that currently own organic certifications. M&M, Mars, Pepsi, Campbell Soup, Schweppes, Cadbury, General Mills, Danone, Kellogg, Dean, Kraft, Coca-Cola, Pepsi. And they have these corporations. Heinz, for example, is a conglomerate connected to some 20 different organic certifications under fake names. It used to be that in order to get certified as an organic food producer, you had to pay approximately $5,000 to $6,000 a year for your annual certification. They would send members, scientific members from the panel, to come test your soil to determine which chemicals were in the soil, which minerals needed to be balanced in the soil for the soil to become healthy. You had to farm for 2 years under the principle of organic farming before you could achieve your certification, and they had to retest your soil to make sure it was free of pollutants. Today, only the original organic certifiers maintain that level of status, yet we've got 95 organizations out there, most of which require that you do nothing but pay $2,500 or more or less, and you get a stamp that says you can sell your food as organic. So now people are going to the supermarket and buying what they think is organic farm garbage being sold for more money, wrapped in a package that says organically certified. So they have completely wiped it out. So the only way a person can really take their own health into their own hands is simply go to the supermarket, and whenever they see something being sold as organic, call the company that's on the label. So if it's John's Organic Food, or John's Certified Organic, or, say, USDA, call the USDA and say, what does it take to achieve organic certification? Pretend you're a farmer. What do I have to do? If they do not require that the soil be tested and that the farmer do a two-year gestation period to rehabilitate the soils, you are just eating commercially grown food sold to you at a much, much higher price, which is yet another business scam that goes hand-in-hand with everything we've discussed on this interview. And they've done this specifically so the public could not pressure them into farming organically, because to farm organically means you actually have to get out and do something. You cannot farm at 60 miles an hour from the cab of your pickup truck while you're dumping chemicals on everything. You can't grow a chicken from hatching to the store shelf in 36 days using steroids and antibiotics. You can't pump steers up with antibiotics and steroids and bring them from birth to slaughter in 1 year when the normal process to raise a steer takes 4 years. They don't want you to know this. So what they're doing is producing bogus science to convince the public that there's no such benefits to be gained through eating organic food. And then we've got universities sponsored by these corporations, and most people have no idea, for example, that the entire professional category called nutritionist or dietetics was started by General Mills, funded by General Mills, for the explicit purpose of selling commercially packaged and processed food to people in the name of health. Your dietitians and nutritionists are nothing but people that have been programmed to sell packaged garbage in the name of health, just like doctors are programmed by drug companies to sell drugs in the name of health and not practice medicine. So the individual, once again, must take responsibility for themselves. And it is also important to know that research shows that during the Second World War, 50% of all the produce eaten in the United States was grown in people's backyards because they had no other choice. And when you look at the rates of disease during the First and Second World War, worldwide rates of disease plummeted, went almost through the floor. We got healthy because we had to stop buying garbage. That's why I say, if a world war or an economical crisis comes, it will bring people to the point where they must grow food in their backyard or starve to death, and we will reestablish a connection to the planet, and we will reestablish a connection to health by default. But in the meantime, one need only spend the time and energy that they're now wasting standing in lines at the drugstore waiting for their prescriptions and visiting doctors that are selling them drugs and buying junk food and buying wraps and straps and props and band-aids for this, that, and everything else. Spend that time, energy, and money to research your local community farms. Find out who your local farming agency is. Go to the Chamber of Commerce. Find out where the organic farms are, where the farming commission is, where the local community farmers sell their wares on the weekends, and go support your local community farmers, because today very few farmers will spend thousands of dollars to get an organic certification because they know it's now all garbage and nobody even knows the difference between a true organic certification and a fake one. And they've done such a good job of convincing the public that organics know better than that the farmers no longer want to participate because they don't have the finances to do it. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So the only way you can really feed yourself well is to go out and support local community farmers who almost all are starving to death because people have such a low level of awareness of organic food. If they walk into the store and there's a bag of commercially farmed carrots for 93 cents and a bag of organic carrots for $2.50, well, they think they're shopping for auto parts or hair combs or tennis shoes, and they buy the cheaper food like they're trying to save money on food, but they don't realize that they're buying death. That average American $5,600 a year on medicine. Why not spend $5,600 a year on organic food and support your local community farmers, which means you're supporting the planet, you're supporting water, and you're supporting the atmosphere, and you're rehabilitating your own metabolism, and therefore you're supporting the four Aristotelian principles that support life. To me, it seems simple and obvious and a lot easier than dealing with diseases and wasting your time, energy, and money on what you don't want instead of what you do want.
And do you think that people have any reasonable excuses not to shop organic other than claims of financial problems?
Yes, they have a very good reasonable excuse: misinformation. People think that because somebody gets on television and they got a PhD in this or a master's degree in that, that they're believable. But don't forget, we've got more PhDs and master's degrees in the professional sector per capita than ever in the history of man, but we're the sickest, most dysfunctional people we've ever been. That's why they call a PhD piled higher and deeper. An expert is somebody who knows more and more about less and less until they know absolutely everything about nothing, and that's where we're at. We've got a world full of academic experts that people believe, but these people themselves aren't healthy. These people themselves are full of diseases. I was once asked in an interview with the London Times, if I was put in charge of health and exercise education for the entire country of England, what would I do differently? And I said, I would make it mandatory that nobody that practices medicine or teaches health or exercise should be allowed to lecture unless they can do it in their underwear so that all their students and patients can see the results of their own medical and health practices right in front of them. And I asked the newspaper, how many so-called professors and experts would not show up to work the next day if they had to lecture in their underwear? And with a tremendous laugh, the reporter said, probably none of them. The entire university system would go bankrupt, the gyms would be empty, the doctors would have nobody standing there. Most people wouldn't even stand the sight of looking at their doctor naked.
Okay.
So until we can get to that level of honesty, until we can get naked together, then we're just going to get sick together.
Okay, thank you. I think that does it.